You're listening to funeral services in Baltimore for the late Congressman Elijah E. Cummings.
That funeral today put a pause on the impeachment inquiry, which will continue tomorrow. And we're learning today that the Justice Department review of the Russia investigation has become a criminal inquiry. Let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable, Univision News anchor Enrique Acevedo. Hi, Enrique.
Hi, Jeremy.
And ABC News Political Director Rick Klein. Hi, Rick.
Hey, great to be with you.
So let's start with that criminal investigation. We now know that Attorney General William Barr's review of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation, which President Trump has been calling a witch hunt, is a criminal investigation. Here's the White House counselor Kellyanne Conway on Fox News this morning, asked whether Department of Justice was being used as a tool for political retribution.
No, the point of the investigation is to make sure that the DOJ and the FBI under the Obama administration in 2016 was not being used as a tool to influence the elections.
Rick, what's going on here?
This is the president getting his wish. He has long said that he viewed the actions by FBI, DOJ officials, including the fired FBI director, James Comey, to be criminal. Now he gets to find out if that's the case or not. And so this investigation has morphed into another phase that is very explicitly looking backwards to see if any criminal conduct happened. Now, a lot of people are going to point out there's no way that this can be an impartial investigation, given the president's stated preferences publicly and privately that the DOJ look at itself. But the investigation of the investigators is now criminal.
Is there anything that you can think of in the past when the Department of Justice was being used in a way, it appears, because they are doing exactly what President Trump has been asking for, in a way that appears so political? Enrique.
Well, I think the impartiality part of the argument that Rick just mentioned, it's the most important part to understand what's going on right now. We need to trust that this investigation is not being conducted because of a political purpose. And we need to know that the incentive is there to really, go after the responsibilities, if there are any, under the rule of law, under the principles and the values of our judicial system. So what worries me about this is that there's no trust in the institution, and there's no trust in the Attorney General right now, and there's no trust that he can be impartial on this, and so it turns political. I can't think of another of a president, at least not in our modern history, as to something like this.
Enrique and Rick, let's talk impeachment. President Trump's latest defense on impeachment is that there was no proven quid pro quo because Ukraine didn't know that U.S. military aid was being held up in exchange for Ukraine conducting investigations of Democrats. But there's been reporting this week that Ukraine actually did know. How is the administration doing in its defense at this point, do you think, Enrique?
Well, it has turned into process. The arguments about what happened now are clear because of the testimony that the House Commission, the Intelligence and the Foreign Affairs Commissions have received in the past few days. So I think we have a better idea, a more clear idea of what happened between the U.S. government and the government of Ukraine and that sort of a shadow government that was run by Rudy Giuliani. So now that the arguments seem to center around the process in which this inquiry advances and evolves, I think that the administration has sort of laid out their cards on the table. They're not going to argue that the things that happened didn't happen. They're going to argue that the way that the House is conducting this is inappropriate.
Rick, I want to ask you a question about yesterday. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham introduced a non-binding resolution in the Senate to condemn House Democrats for holding witness depositions behind closed doors and not holding a vote on an impeachment inquiry. Here's some sound.
I'm not here to tell you that Donald Trump's done nothing wrong. I'm not here to tell you anything other than that the way they're going about it is really dangerous for the country.
And it's important to note that Republicans are represented in these closed-door hearings. But, Rick, why are Republicans focusing so much on the process? And is this actually working for them?
Because they don't want to focus on the substance. A diminishing number of Republicans, Lindsey Graham even included, are in a position where they don't want to defend something that, in terms of the president's conduct, they view as indefensible. And that's why they focus on the process. And look, this is a stunt. It's not akin to the stunt of the House Republicans storming the secure conference room to try to make a highlight of this. But it is aimed at an audience of one, of President Trump, of displaying some loyalty, and of just trying to confuse matters waters a bit and hold things up. Maybe it works. Maybe Americans will be more concerned about the process rather than the substance. But ultimately, Democrats are – at some point they will open up the hearings. But until then, they feel like this is about amassing a body of evidence so they can take to the American people. And even if that's happening behind closed doors for the most part, there's precedent for that. And they feel like the ends will justify that means.
Well, and as Republicans on Capitol Hill focus on the process, a former Trump official, chief strategist Steve Bannon, this week launched a War Room podcast and radio show to give the White House a messaging strategy from the outside, which he feels is lacking on the inside. Today, his episode was focused on discrediting witnesses that are scheduled to testify next week.
But this is what the show is trying to do. We're trying to highlight these folks before they walk in there, because you're not going to see it on CNN. Is going to give you, MSNBC is going to give you their version of the political weaponized version of this. We're trying to give you the more of a search for truth.
So he's trying to add his voice into the mix here. Rick, is the White House losing the messaging war when you think about it big picture with Bannon and Lindsey Graham and others? Is the White House losing the messaging war?
It feels like they're falling behind. You see that in public polling where more people are supporting the idea of an impeachment inquiry, even removal from office. And I think you see it in the concerns among Republicans that they do not have a very strong hand here. And it's because the president has played it as well. And it was only a week ago or so that Milk Mulvaney in that infamous news conference said, we don't need a war room because the president didn't do anything wrong. Well, guess what? They're getting war rooms. They're bunkering down and they're trying to do what they can to message something that is very difficult to message.
Let's just switch gears here and talk about Syria. A lot of news there this week. President Trump declared the conflict between Turkey and the Kurds in Syria over. He lifted sanctions on Turkey. And today, the Pentagon Defense Secretary Mark Esper said some American troops will stay in Syria to protect oil fields. Enrique, we haven't heard since President Trump announced an end to this conflict the other day. We haven't heard as much criticism from Republicans. Your thoughts?
We were talking about process just now on the other issue, but what's lacking here, it seems it's process. The due process to make a decision, such an important decision for our national security, as to withdraw troops from Syria. And the more we hear and learn about the details of how this is happening and what can happen downstream, the more we know that there wasn't a process followed here in terms of what we've usually seen in the past in this type of decisions. So I think, this benefits all of our adversaries in the region. It benefits Russia. It benefits Iran. It certainly benefits ISIS. And it doesn't, at least not for the moment, reflect any sort of a benefit for our national interest.
Let's talk 2020, the election. Ohio moderate Tim Ryan is out of the 2020 Democratic presidential race. Amy Klobuchar, she will take the debate stage next month. And now there are these four that are emerging: Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and Pete Buttigieg. And former North Dakota Senator Heidi Heitkamp told us that she thinks Buttigieg can win Iowa. Rick, what will you be watching for over the next few weeks?
I think it's the revenge of the centrists and the moderates and the people that might represent the middle lane. Mayor Pete has been a big story since the last debate, and I think coming in to the next debate, the idea of not just him but Amy Klobuchar, who just qualified, do they pick up some momentum? Iowa, I think, is still wide open. Talking to Democrats, they don't know who's going to win Iowa. They know that Elizabeth Warren seems very strong in New Hampshire, and you can see how the state strategy plays out. I was struck by the decision by Joe Biden in his campaign to reverse course on super PACs and say they're open to getting big money. That's a signal of some concern and a move in the direction of practicality over any kind of idealism in the Democratic primary. But I think the Mayor Pete storyline is a real one.
Yeah, Enrique, I'm curious about your thoughts on this.
Well, it seems that, we're still a good few months away.
Three months.
Yes,
100
we are
days.
Very few months away.
But other candidates have had their chance. It feels like that. Elizabeth Warren had, certainly saw a surge in the polls. And now that idea is sort of deflating a little bit. Kamala Harris at some point had the same opportunity. Let's see what happens with Mayor Pete and if he takes it all the way. Because certainly that idealism that Rick was referring to, it seems like the party is sort of settling for a candidate instead of rallying around this idea with enthusiasm and energy. Mm-hmm. Mayor Pete seems to have that at the moment. Let's see if he can take it all the way and make the most of this opportunity.
Rick, just in the 30 seconds we have, do you think we will have Halloween, maybe Brexit, Thanksgiving, impeachment hearings, Christmas, and then Iowa caucuses?
As long as we have a Nationals World Series win first, I'm yeah. good with all of that. It's going to be a really busy time. There's going to be a lot of storylines that are converging all at once.
And if the Nats go to Game 5, President Trump promises that he will go to the game on Sunday, which would be interesting because in Washington, D.C., he might not have such a crowd of people that loves him. We will see. Enrique Acevedo, news anchor at Univision. Rick Klein, ABC News political director. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.